good too.
Fleming Begay.
Very good.
Fleming Begay was one of the co-chairmen for Trump president.
I know that.
Yes.
You should get Nota Begay. You know Nota Begay?
Yeah.
Right. Great champion.
A golfer, right.
Great champion.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wonderful, in fact. Wonderful.
Thomas H. Good.
Come on.
Thomas.
You go ahead if you'd like to do.
You want to sing?
You want to sing?
Yeah. You want to sing?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You sing.
Thank you, Honorable President of this great United States of America, President Trump. Thank you for inviting us Navajo Code Talkers to the Capitol and to the White House of this great nation we call United States. Today, we have with us three of the 13 surviving Navajo Code Talkers of World War II. First, we have Fleming Begay. Fleming Begay is 97 years old, the old veteran of World War II. He survived the Battle of Tarawa. His landing craft was blown up, and he literally had to swim to the beach to survive. Also on Saipan, he also landed on Tinian, where he got shot up real badly, survived 1 year in Naval Hospital. We have Thomas Begay, also one of the code talkers who were on Iwo Jima. A tough battle. Three Marine Division landed on Iwo. 5th Marine Division, he was a part of the code talkers within the 5th Marine Division. Also, as if Marine Corps was not enough, he enlisted to be United States Army, served in the Korean War, survived that awful battle at Kosin. My name is Peter McDonald. I'm the president of the 13 surviving Navajo Code Talkers. I went in. I'm 90 years old. I went in when I was 15 years old in early 1944. I was with the 1st Marine Brigade on Guam and then went on to North China with 6th Marine Division to get those Japanese in northern China to surrender. They didn't want to surrender, but it took 1st Marine Division, 6th Marine Division to get them to surrender. Eventually, we had a separate treaty ceremony in Tsingtao, China, October 25, 1945. Navajo Code Talkers. In the early part of World War II, the enemy was breaking every military code that was being used in the Pacific. This created a huge problem for strategizing against the enemy. Eventually, a suggestion was made in early 1942, February 42, essentially, to use Navajo language as a code. Marine Corps recruited 29 young Navajos, not telling them what they are being recruited for, because this was a top secret operation. They were just asked, you want to join the Marines? You want to fight the enemy? Come join the Marines. So they volunteered. 29 young Navajos joined the Marines in 1942. After going through boot camp, passed boot camp with flying colors, combat training, the same thing. Then into Marine Corps Communications School. Passed that. Then they were separated from all the rest of the Marines, took them to a top secret location just east of San Diego, Camp Elliott. That's where they created a military code to be used in the Pacific. After creating 260 code words, the 29 young Marines, half of them were sent overseas to join the 1st Marine Division. 1st Marine Division was getting ready to go on the first offensive movement in the Pacific, Guadalcanal. On August 7, 1942, 75 years ago, 1st Marine Division hit the beach on the beaches of Guadalcanal with 15 Navajo code talkers. This was the first battle where the Navajo code was to be tested in actual battle, to test, see how our memory would be under heavy enemy fire. Well, 3 weeks after the landing, General Vandegrift, commander of the 1st Marine Division, sent word back to the United States saying, "This Navajo code is terrific. The enemy never understood it," he said. "We don't understand it either, but it works. Send us some more Navajos." So that opened up the gate for United States Marine Corps San Diego to start recruiting more and more Navajos using the same tactics. You want to fight, you want to join the Marines, you want to wear this beautiful blue uniform, come join the Marines. So we all volunteered. That's how he went in, that's how he went in, that's how I went in. Boot camp, combat training, communication school. Then we all get separated, go to that special top secret Navajo code school to learn to code. Initially, 260 code words, all subject to memory only. Eventually, by the time the war ended, 1945, there were 400 of us that went to war. And also, code words grew to 600 code words, subject to memory only. In every battle, two communication networks were established. Navajo Communication Network for all top secret confidential messages. The second network, English Network, for all other messages. In every battle, from the front line, beach command post, command ship, all other ships, code talkers were used. On the island of Iwo, Major Connor said, the first 48 hours of battle, over 800 messages were sent by the 5th Marine Division only. The first 48 hours, over 800 messages. Major Connor also said, without Navajo, Marines would never have taken the island of Iwo Jima. So thank you very much. The 13 of us, we still have one mission. That mission is to build National Navajo Code Talker Museum. We want to preserve this unique World War II history for our children, grandchildren, your grandchildren, to go through that museum. Why? Because what we did truly represents who we are as Americans. America, we know, is composed of diverse community. We have different languages, different skills, different talents, and different religion. But when our way of life is threatened, like the freedom and liberty that we all cherish, we come together as one. And when we come together as one, we are invincible. We cannot be defeated. That's why we need this National Navajo Code Talker Museum so that our children, the future generation, can go through that museum and learn why America is so strong. Thank you very much for listening.
That was so incredible, and now I don't have to make my speech. I had the most beautiful speech written out. I was so proud of it, look. And I thought you would leave out Iwo Jima, but you got that in the end, too. And I want to tell you, you said you're 90 years old? That's great, because you have good genes. That means the press has got me to kick around for a long time. That was beautiful. I love that, and I loved your delivery. And the Code Talkers are amazing. And seriously, it is what I said. So what I'm going to do is give you my speech, and I want you to hold that. And I know you like me, so you'll save it. But that was so well delivered from the heart. That was from the heart.
Yes.
So I want to give you this speech because I don't want to bore them with saying the same thing you just said. And you said it better, believe me, because
yes.
You said it right from here. And I mean it from there, too. And you have a lot of great friends. Tom Cole is here, and you know Tom, and you know Jeff. So I want to thank you both, Jeff Dunham. I want to thank you both for being here, and you two for being here. Also, General Dumford, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and General Kelly. And I have to say, I said to General Kelly, I said, General, how good, here he is right there, the chief. He's the general and the chief. I said, how good were these Code Talkers? What was it? He said, sir, you have no idea. You have no idea how great they were, what they've done for this country, and the strength and the bravery and the love that they had for the country and that you have for the country. So that was the ultimate statement from General Kelly, the importance. And I just want to thank you because you're very, very special people. You were here long before any of us were here, although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas. But you know what? I like you because you are special. You are special people. You are really incredible people. And I have to, from the heart, from the absolute heart, we appreciate what you've done, how you've done it, the bravery that you displayed, and the love that you have for your country. Tom, I would say that's as good as it gets, wouldn't you say? That's as good as you get. General Kelly, just come up for 1 second. I want to just have you say what you told me a little bit about the Code Talkers, because it really has been learning about you and learning about what you've done has been something that I'd like General Kelly to say to the press. Go ahead, General.
Well, sir, as you know, being associated with the United States Marines, it's as much a cult as it is a service, and we never forget. Our motto, of course, is Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Whether you're a young recruit at Parris Island or San Diego, or a middle-aged guy from out west, what these men did, the advantage they gave our Marines when they invaded Iwo Jima was really, and I think it was pointed out, was one of the very few factors that allowed us to be successful on that island. Their ability to outwit the Japanese, who were, you know, listening to this wonderful language and had no idea that a language like this existed on the earth. What they did, very small number of men, sir, made the difference. We lost 6,000 Marines and 25,000 wounded on that island in 28 days of battle. It would have been a lot worse had we not had the Navajo Code Talkers, and I thank you. Semper Fidelis.
So they're working on building a Navajo Code Talkers Museum, and we will help you, okay? And we have some pretty good strength. We will help you, and you deserve it. And I want to thank you all for being here. I assume you're the young one in the group? Are you the young one in the group? Huh? Thank you so much for being here. You're very special people. And without you, maybe the results would have been a lot different. I've heard that actually the results could have very well been different. So on behalf of the United States, thank you all. very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. President, we know you'll succeed. America is in good hands. You have all top Marine Corps generals as your assistants. So we know that we're in good hands.
What a group. This is a great group. Thank you all very much. Thank you. I think the tax bill is going very well. We had a meeting on it today. It's going to be a tremendous tax cut, the biggest in the history of our country. You'll have to pay a lot less tax.
That's okay.
But we're going to have a tremendous — I think we're going to have great receptivity. We've had great spirit. And I will tell you, the Republican senators were up. If we win, we'll get some Democratic senators joining us. If we don't win, they won't be joining us. You understand that. But if we win, I think we'll probably have a bipartisan bill, meaning a number of people are going to come over. But I'm not so interested in that. We're really interested just in getting it passed. Again, it will be the biggest tax reduction in the history of our country. It'll bring jobs. It'll bring a lot of income coming into the country, buying product, et cetera. And I think it's doing very well. Okay? No, I think we're going to have really — I think it's — actually, I think it's going to benefit everybody. It's going to mostly benefit people looking for jobs more than anything else, because we're giving great incentives. And we're going to be bringing back into this country probably in excess of $4 trillion. $4 trillion. That's outside of the country that right now, because of our tax laws, can't come back in. And we will be bringing back at least — I think the number will be substantially higher — but at least $4 trillion, which will immediately be put to work in this country. So I think the tax bill is doing very well, and I think the Republicans are going to be very proud of it. Thank you. Thank you.